This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The major cities in the Northeast. Canadian wildfires have apparently subsided enough that it's not crossing the border. That's the good news. In the meantime, they're bracing for an avalanche of people to support Donald Trump, the former prez, who's going to be in a federal courthouse in Miami in the afternoon on Tuesday, scrambling the day before to find an attorney to represent him. His attorneys bowed out of this one, so he spent the afternoon interviewing prospective lawyers and meeting with his legal team, along with other top advisors, to discuss the case where he's accused of mishandling classified documents. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, a snapshot of where we are in this country. Like I said, the good news, the smoke, the haze has cleared, thank goodness. It was nasty stuff. And so high on the scale of what you don't want to be breathing. We haven't seen anything like this in New York or Philly or Washington, D.C. or Charlotte or some of the other cities that started to get hit by those out-of-control wildfires, which, by the way, they don't know who it is, and they haven't said, but there is a belief that they were started by somebody, that it was arson. So wait and see what happens there, because that was over 400 fires. And they're still putting them out, by the way. So speaking of putting out fires, that's what the former president is trying to do. Several prominent Florida attorneys declined to take on Trump as a client after two of the key lawyers handling the document matter resigned last week, Jim Trustee and John Rowley. It was sudden and unexpected. So now it's ahead of that Tuesday appearance. I guarantee someone will be there. It was just a flurry of activity at the last minute. So what happens as far as the legal strategy is concerned heading into this case? I mean, it's just the indictment and the plea, but it's the beginning of the beginning. So how far does it go? I mean, this is a very, very big case. We haven't had one like this in our history. Certainly we've had politicians embroiled in legal problems, but we're talking about the former president who's running for president and who, polling-wise, is the most popular choice as far as any Republicans that are going to vote in a Republican primary, right? Where does he go from here? And again, it's the 37 indictments. I said this in a previous hour. To me, it seems like the strategy would be to slow play this whole proceeding, not to race through it. And that's what I think happens here. I mean, you know, I saw a headline on Drudge, I guess it was, and it said White House or jail, and then had a picture of Donald Trump golfing. White House or jail? So there's pretty much some clear takeaways. Politically speaking, his path is so clear. The thing that isn't clear is what happens when he goes through this court process. Because looking at that CBS YouGov poll that was taken after the indictment, he has a super commanding lead, and he raised tons of money in the last handful of days. So he has a super lead among Republican primary voters, 61% of the vote. Second place is Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, with 23%. Everybody else is barely even registering. So barely even there, barely even showing up. And this case is very different, by the way, from the Manhattan DA case, where, you know, some of the discussion is. Is it overly partisan? Is it not? What's happening here? And it's different all the way around in looking at this because of what you're talking about, the classified documents. Now, you had Jim Jordan, the congressman from Ohio. I saw him earlier in the day on somewhere. It might have been CNN. I'm not sure where it was, or Fox or somewhere, where he said that Trump has declassified the documents in question. So that's it. So it doesn't make sense on its face, right? Here's the thing, that there are some things supposedly that were recorded. There's some things about conversations that he had. You know, and you look at the Espionage Act, and you look at others that have been slammed with that and how they escaped prosecution. Edward Snowden goes to Russia. He releases documents of national importance, obviously, and upends so much of what we didn't know. In this case, the whole espionage thing, the spying thing, I think would be ridiculous. What would be the follow-up to that is, did people see the documents, right? And then there's this other part of it, the Presidential Record Act, which allows presidents access to documents classified and unclassified once he leaves office. And it's all about the good faith negotiation. I just read this again today with the National Archives. But the indictment assumes that he had no right to take any classified documents. So there are problematic parts of it for sure. And is it more bluster than anything else? I mean, I'm sure that's part of what they would claim, right? So I will be curious as to see how these pieces all come together or fall apart, right? That's what we're watching. And there will be people there. I think there will be people outside the courthouse. I don't think it's going to be a wild and unruly gang of people that are going to start problems. But I think there will definitely be supporters there, even if it's just Floridians. But I don't think that. I think people will come in from other parts of the country and show their support for the former president. I-95 collapses in Philadelphia, and why do you care? A lot of people ride I-95 from other parts in the south, going up north, or vice versa. So they did recover a body from the wreckage. Very sad. Nathaniel Moody, he was the truck driver. And he leaves behind a son and two daughters. The rebuild of the section is expected to take months. They're getting rid of, they're making it all collapse, the area that really buckled. And so the complete demolition of the bridge in the next 4 to 5 days. And what's really strange is this part of the bridge, which is an older bridge, was constructed 10 to 12 years ago. And it was deemed structurally sound. Yikes. The tanker truck carrying 8,500 gallons of gasoline tried to navigate a left-hand turn after exiting an off-ramp on I-95, lost control, fell on its side, ruptured its own tank, and then the rest is history on Sunday. Coming up, some great authors. Hang with us.
It's all too obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. American families are talking about a future of food shortages, banks failing, society breaking down, and what seems like the setup for the apocalypse. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are leaning into self-reliance, investing in emergency food storage now more than ever. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, has made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their best-selling 3-month emergency food kit. You get tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on 3-month emergency food kits at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what we all know is coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of 3 major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is a process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Brown joins us. The name of her book, Walking in Light, Living in Love. Oh, and the cover of this book is just beautiful. It matches what she's talking about, radiating in love. Dathula, thanks so much for hopping on with us.
Great. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
What was it that led you to writing the book? What was your motivation?
Well, I had a mother who was always just very wise and taught me so much. I was the youngest child, so we spent a lot of time together. And she was very spiritual. She was psychic. She did a lot of writing herself. And her writing was never really published, so I decided to sort of follow her lead and take some of the teachings that she gave me and put them in a book.
Wow. So in the book, give us a little snippet of the book. What are some of the teachings that you think people will really find useful?
Wow. The book, it's full of teachings about life and about wisdom and how about living in love and learning to live in peace and how we can spread those ideas to other people in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, and in our workplace, and just learn to practice that.
Oh, I love that. A space filled with peace and harmony, a place where we can feel that love, and we see, unfortunately, how the world is now, and that's why your book is, I think, so timely for this, when you talk about walking in light, living in love. Did that make a difference, what she taught you, obviously, for your life?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. My mom passed when I was 25, and so that was just really an enlightening experience for me, and that I always felt her presence. And I felt like I could see her and that she was talking to me. And so, yeah, that sort of, you know, life just sort of one thing leads to another. It led me to learn meditation and yoga, and to, it just strengthened my prayer life and my spirituality and helped me to develop who I am within, who I am with inside of me. And all of that is sort of developed, unfolded to where I am now.
And what a difference that's made right in your life, that you're able to go within yourself. People say that, but it's hard for people sometimes to grasp that concept, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. You know, I was just thinking before we got on this call about the fact that somehow we've got to start teaching this to children. I mean, I know some schools do. I've heard of schools that are very successfully teaching this whole idea of meditation to children, and they're having amazing outcomes. But, yeah, and so, you know, everything spreads like the 100 monkey effect, so that eventually we all begin to see life from a different space, from a different place. That's an ideal, but it's got to start somewhere, in my opinion. Otherwise, we just completely destroy ourselves, and we're doing a pretty good job of it right now.
Oh, boy, no kidding. So in your book, in the introduction, you tell people, and this wasn't that long ago, it was back in 2017, about a really scary thing that happened to you when you had to be admitted into the ICU. Tell us about that, because that'll make you feel that your life has only X amount of time, and trying to wrap your brain around that. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, in 2017, I was in the middle of the night. I'm having so much severe pain, back pain. And, of course, I thought it was my mattress. I said, oh, my mattress is really hard. I got to get a new mattress. And it continued and wouldn't let up. That morning, I called my doctor's office. I couldn't get an immediate appointment. I don't think the person who answered the phone understood how serious this was. So I didn't get to see my doctor until 3 o'clock that afternoon. As soon as I walked in and told her what was going on, she said, go to the emergency room right now. She said, I will call them and tell them you're on your way. And she did, and I found out, of course, several hours later, that I was having aortic aneurysm. I'd never heard of that. I'd heard of brain aneurysms. I didn't know anything about aortic aneurysms. And they needed to do surgery. So the vascular specialist, well, the person on duty initially in the emergency room, said, okay, we're bringing in a vascular specialist, and we'll see what he says. He concurred, and I asked so many questions generally, and I said, what if I don't get this surgery? And I'm a negotiator, which is kind of foolish in this situation, but I did. He said, well, you can always go home and die.
Wow.
And it terrified me. And I didn't want to go home and die, so I agreed. And then he even explained that there would be risk with the surgery. But I didn't really have a choice at that point, so I did go through the surgery. And I learned, even after I got home from the hospital, how serious it was. People told me they'd had spouses or friends who had gone through that and who had died. And I didn't think it was my time yet. So I just really dealt with it. I tried to do everything the doctor told me to do, and here I am now. But it was really, really scary, and I realized if I was going to make any major contributions to the world, I had to do it right then. And so I started the book.
Yeah, it's scary to come face-to-face with your own mortality, isn't it?
It certainly is. When I had to go back to the hospital, to the emergency room a few days after I was released, my niece was with me, and I was in tears in the emergency room. She said, why are you crying? I said, I'm not ready to die. I can't go yet. I just cannot go yet. Because I really, you know, we don't know through situations like that just what the outcome is going to be. But I didn't die.
Yeah, and there's a lesson in that. So then, like you said, it made you write the book, Walking in Light, Living in Love, which you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
Well, I just really want people to gather, one, how powerful we are. I was looking through my book yesterday. You know, and the words are in there. We are so, and we don't even know it, you know. We read that sometimes, or we hear researchers or teachers say that, and yet we still don't don't get. We are so powerful. And if we could understand that concept and understand that we really can do almost anything. In my book, there are some Bible verses throughout the book, just one line verses. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, you can do these things and you can do them even greater. And I remind people of that. You know, a lot of us, unfortunately, are into church or religion, but we don't really grasp what's being said. We don't get it. We don't understand. You know, people do a lot of worshiping and praising, but it's about each of us and our own personal relationships with the divine, the universal, whatever that higher being is. You can call it whatever you want. There's something greater than we are who is there to help us, and we are one with it. And if we could only get that, I don't know what it will take, except, as I said, just starting with the basics and teaching children about love and peace and understanding. I'm with a group right now. We're going to start doing some work in public schools. We're starting with high schools. Hopefully, eventually, one of these days, we can do elementary. But just sort of helping them to sort of understand and learn about love and peace, and about conflict resolution and problem solving and critical thinking and belonging, because so many children are following their peers and are not getting the lessons about love that they could get from their, even from their teachers, unfortunately. Some teachers are wonderful at doing that, but many are not even getting it at home.
Wow. What a beautiful thing. A perfect place to end this conversation. Walking in light, living in love. Thank you so much, Dathula Barron.
You are so wonderful, and thank you for this opportunity. I'm so always grateful to get this message out.
Yeah, I love that. I love her suggestions and the fact that she's putting them to the task, trying to get them into schools. What a good thing for to teach the power of feeling yourself, of feeling that love, and how that can spread. Speaking of love, the love is there for the Rocky Mountain Denver Nuggets. It took 56 years, 38 playoff appearances for the basketball team to finally reach the peak of the NBA. And it happened thanks to a center from Serbia who became an incredible player in the game, and a young Canadian point guard who also was part of it after almost having a knee injury take out his career. And it's a very big win in five for the Denver Nuggets, knocking out Miami to win the NBA title for 2023. Congratulations. Coming up, a couple of great authors talking about so many other things that will inspire you. That's next.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Yeah. USA News update. Miami is ready for President Trump's arraignment at the federal courthouse tomorrow. Mayor Suarez assures that the city can handle large crowds with sufficient law enforcement and fire rescue personnel. The police chief has confirmed no credible threats exist at the present time. President Biden postponed a meeting with the head of NATO today due to a root canal procedure. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said the president is doing just fine after his root canal.
The procedure has been successfully completed, and he'll be certainly working in the residence this afternoon.
The meeting with the NATO Secretary General was rescheduled for tomorrow. American sentiment towards inflation is becoming increasingly positive, as people believe it's on a downward trajectory. The latest survey of consumer expectations conducted by the New York Federal Reserve reveals that the inflation outlook reached its lowest point in 2 years in May. John Schaefer, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Now she's in our virtual green room here on Author's Corner. We're going to talk about what she has written. She's actually written a lot. She's sold more than 300 manuscripts for publication. And, boy, she's had some interesting careers. She was a nurse. She was a bookkeeper. She was a piano teacher and so much more. And we're going to talk to her specifically about songs and poems from a yielded heart. So, Judith, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
So you've written a lot, and now you've put together poems and songs. What led you in this direction? Why'd you decide to do this?
Well, back in 1981, I went through a divorce after 17 years of marriage. And I had been praying for the previous 5 years that God would heal my husband's depression and our marriage. And gradually, I became convinced that his depression was because he felt trapped in a marriage with me. So this triggered feelings of rejection in me. By the time we filed for divorce, I was emotionally sick and felt abandoned by God. Then there were also some health issues involved, which contributed to depression in me and confusion. Earlier, being so love-starved, I had trouble sleeping, so I would get up and write down my thoughts and feelings, ending in a prayer. Then I could go to sleep. Eventually, I turned these prayers into poems.
a friend read some of my journalism and suggested we signed up for a writer's correspondence course. So that's how I got into writing.
Yeah, did it help you? It sounds like you said, you couldn't sleep and it was tough and you had all these thoughts and feelings. Now when you come out on the other side of this and you see this in print and it's out there in the world, was it a cathartic experience for you?
Yes, it was, because I always ended in a prayer. And so, you know, at first expressing my heart to God and then ending in a prayer, it seemed to draw me closer to him.
Yeah. And in this book that you've pulled together and you've got them, these poems are lots of different titles and lots of different expressions. Even in the very beginning, The Greater Gift, you talk about comfort. That's big for a lot of people. Confusion and chaos is big for a lot of people. Tell me about constructing Prayer of Confusion. How'd that come about for all these things that you were dealing with, right?
Yeah, I was feeling abandoned by God because he hadn't answered this prayer. And so I just kind of blurted out, you know, how do I live? What's wrong? How do I fix this? Or anyway, it just kind of came out of my turmoil.
And now this would be interesting for people to hear, because you said 17 years you were married. How does it feel now? Because it's always when it's right upon us that it's really the most difficult. How's your life now?
Well, now my life is pretty good. I'm a widow again for the second time. First I had two divorces and then widowed twice. But eventually the Lord brought me into a deeper relationship with him. After I, as I said, at the end of these 5 years, I was emotionally and probably mentally sick and felt abandoned. And then I got involved with a drug addict, alcoholic, whom I thought was recovering. After my divorce was final, I married him. I thought I could convince him of the love of Jesus and save him. However, he never did recover. So after 2.5 years of marriage to him, I divorced him because my psychiatrist thought it was too dangerous for me to stay with him. This was after he had tried to choke me to death for one time and while he was drunk, and then other problems. So anyway, then after I went to a friend of mine invited me to go to a Bill Gothard youth seminar. And so I heard this the sermons at this seminar, it helped me get back in tune with God spiritually and realize he hadn't really abandoned me. So then I grew from there into a more intimate relationship with God. And especially got involved with reading the book of Isaiah, and just fell in love with the book of Isaiah, where it said in 42:22, it says, "This is a people robbed and plundered and trapped in holes with no one to rescue." And that's how I felt, how I had been feeling. And so when I turned to the Lord, the book of Isaiah just begs people, return to me. You know, and when I returned to him and then grew more intimate with him, well, then my life got better. My mind seemed more clear and sensible. And
the belief, you know, so talking about the belief and what the belief did for you. When people crack open the book, what will they find? What do you hope they find in your songs and poems?
Well, I hope that they will realize God really does love them and really does want to work for their good, and that it would bring them into more intimate relationship with him.
After doing this book, Songs and Poems from a Yielded Heart, will you do another?
Yeah, I have done another. Actually, before I wrote this book, I wrote a book called Rescued by God's Mercy, which kind of tells my story. and then goes into more Bible study about Isaiah. And then after writing these two, well, I also did a parable of how God feels about his rebellious children. It's called The Runaway. And it gives a modern-day story of a mother whose daughter keeps running away. And so this story is to illustrate how God, his heart is broken when his children run away from him. And that's just a short, small book. And then recently I just put together a compilation of short stories for a few for children or teens, and then mostly for adults, short stories and articles that I've written through the years and that I've had published in magazines.
Yeah, collecting them in one spot. Do you feel that your that it just continues to grow? That you want to share more words, you want to share more experiences since you started
yes,
on this
does.
Journey?
Yes, it does. I'm working now in a book about the I Am statements of Jesus, where Jesus said, "I am the light, I am the word, I am the way, the truth, the life, I am the resurrection." And so I just finished the rough draft of that book.
And when you finish like the rough drafts, I think it's interesting for people to know the process. You finish a rough draft, you have these ideas that flood into you, and then do you go back and look at them and go through them and figure out, well, this could fit here, this could fit there, and gosh, this would be great for publication. What is that process like for you?
Yeah, I would call that the self-editing process. And what I found out was that I had repeated a lot of stuff. And so it took me a long time to go through and make sure that that I hadn't repeated everything.
Right. So that's what so like you said, that's the self-editing process. And there is a theme here. And you didn't, did you have the belief in the beginning, but it just kind of waned because of all the things that life was hitting you with?
Yes. When I was 9.5 years old, my family, my parents and children, went to an evangelistic conference, well, not conference, but a series of meetings at a neighboring church. And after the last one, I usually would run out to the tent and look at all the little gifts and books and stuff in the tent that they had for sale. But then I was watching as my parents came out of the church, and I heard them say to the evangelist, "We're so glad we came to know the Lord this week." And just at that moment, I could hear Jesus at my right side whispering into my right ear and saying, "I want to be personal to you too. Do you say yes or no?" And so I said yes right away. And then on the way home, I thought, well, now was that my imagination or did that really happen? Well, the next Sunday in church, which was just a couple days later, I was listening to the sermon. I thought, how did the pastor get to be such a better preacher all of a sudden? And it just seemed like my mind had changed. My light had turned on in my soul, it seemed like, because I could understand the sermons, whereas before that I would just kind of sit there and maybe be kind of bored.
Right.
You know, a 9-year-old.
Right, but then it resonated with you, and then look how far it's come full circle through that journey through life. All right, wow, Songs and Poems from a Yielded Heart, Judith Vanderwig. Thank you so much. You can pick it up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks, Judith.
Thank you.
Hi, Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind-the-scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness, he is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook, or hit me up on Twitter, @KateSDelaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Obey Me. We have Ruth Hatch with us. She's written this book here on Author's Corner in this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. So, Ruth, you and I had a great off-air conversation about why you wrote this book. So tell the listeners, what prompted you to write it?
Okay, well, I always loved writing, but I really didn't just think, okay, I'm going to write a book. I had one morning I woke up, and as I was laying in bed, I actually had what I believe was a vision, because I just kind of looked up off to the side and saw myself writing and felt like God was, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I felt like he was showing me that I was to write and to start writing down some things, some of my experiences I had had, how I came to know him and Jesus as my Savior. And that's basically what inspired me, because I kept thinking about that for some time. And then in church one night, we were singing a song about knowing God, and those that came to me, know me, hear me, obey me. And I kept... that just kept coming to me over and over, and I felt like he showed me that was the title of a book he wanted me to write. So I actually had the title before Well, I have been journaling because I've always been a journaler. So that's how it kind of started.
So you write the book, and in the book, because we want to tell people what's in the book, you know, you've got stories, and you talk about what you just said there, what the title is. Do you know God? Can we know God? How does one get to know God? That's always the questions. What are you talking about?
Right.
How do we figure that out? I don't know what you're saying. Where are the signs? People always want signs. But you talk about things that you sort of saw signs, you know, a rental truck with furniture, getting put up in a hotel when things were panicky when you first moved to Florida.
Right.
You know, people have those everyday panics. Tell us one of your stories, maybe that one.
Well, yeah, that one was kind of a shocker because we moved to Florida. We packed up everything in a moving truck and 8 rooms of furniture. And we had talked to gentlemen that we had bought a house from, and we were supposed to arrive and be able to unload all the furniture. And presto, we got there, and they had the preparings for a house, but there was no house. So, yeah, it was panic, kind of panicky. And yet, you know, in all of that, I could see God's working, because then we found out that in Florida they have a lot of these furniture rental, units that you can rent and store stuff, so we had to go find one. And the fact that we rented the vehicle for a week when we only needed it 3 days, we had some extra time. So it was amazing how God worked that all out. Even though, you know, at the time I didn't see it, looking back, I'm thinking, wow, God, that was so amazing how you worked everything out for us. And we did eventually get our house, and it was their fault. So they put us up in a hotel, a motel, a efficiency unit for weeks till the house was there and done.
Right, so it all worked out in the end. I mean, and that's, and you say, I wrote down that, hey, I think the hashtag for the book would be, I will answer, you know, that don't be afraid.
Right.
And you talk about that in the book. And you say, one of the points in the book, you say, if you were to go, and it's very beginning you say this, if you were to go into a very dark cave and strike a match, that light from the match would immediately dispel the darkness. Immediately you can see. It's not dark. That's how you are. You are a light shining in a dark place. When the light is shining, you can find your way. And you talk about that, hearing the words and whatnot. Has that been your comfort throughout your life?
That has. That has. Because through the scripture, I read scripture, try to read daily. I usually do. Sometimes I get deterred from it. But there's a lot of hope in the scriptures, and that's what Jesus taught, that he was the light, and that as we receive him into us, and we have to ask him, he doesn't force himself on us. We have to ask for him to come into us through his spirit, and he lives inside of us, and then we become lights, and we are a light in the darkness, because in this world, seems like things are getting very dark, but there is that ray of hope, that ray of light, and it is Christ, through Christ.
And so that's the message in the book. You can clearly see that, and you lay out different pieces of scripture. You talk about it, that kind of thing, and you talk about your life. And for you, I think it's worth telling people this. I mean, you did special ed. You were middle school. You were the light for lots of kids. What was that career like? How rewarding was that?
That was a very rewarding career. And I didn't get into that till a little bit later in life. I tell people I kind of did things backwards, because I got married, had 3 children, and then I started doing college, and then I got a job as a teacher's assistant in a special ed class, and I thought, oh, wow, I felt like this is my niche. But then we moved to Florida, and I got down here and just felt to continue college, but in the meantime, I was able to get a position because I had worked with special needs kids for 2 years. I got a position in a, it was called the Duval Home. It was a private facility working with severe and profound handicapped people. And that was a very rewarding experience. It, I don't know, because of everything I had gone through, and I shared in the book that I actually, when I still lived in Maine when I was younger, I got myself into an adulterous affair, and then I stopped going to church for a while. But I'm so thankful that God forgives. And an elderly gentleman came and visited us, and I tell about that in the book, and just talked to us. And we went back to church, and I asked for God's forgiveness, and I felt like he opened his arms wide to me, received me back, and I've been serving the Lord ever since.
Wow, yeah, and you do talk about that. That's what I say. You have real-life stories. You're very, very honest in the book. What do you hope people take away from reading Know Me, Hear Me, Obey Me, which you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever books are sold? What do you hope they take away?
That they can realize that they can know God. They can have a personal, intimate relationship with God. It's great and awesome. He's just today in my devotion, I was reading, all things came from him. Everything that is, he made. He made us. He created us. So, you know, how awesome it is that we can actually, through Jesus, have a personal relationship with him. He's the only one. You know, there's many gods, supposedly, many other things, many religions. But the Bible teaches that there's only one true God, and we can come to him through Jesus. And that's what I hope people see and hear through that. Sometimes I think the title may be, I didn't mean it to be deceptive. I felt like that's what the Lord gave me. But because it sounds like I'm trying to tell just about myself. But and I do talk. Sometimes I think, oh, too much me, not enough Jesus in there. But I want people to know that he, you know, sometimes people think, well, I've been too bad, I've gone too far away from God, or I've done really bad stuff. But the thing is, he forgives sin. And that's what it is, sin in our life. And it's wrong, it's bad, it's ugly, and he forgives and he cleanses.
Wow, and that is the message. That's the message in the book. I mean, that's the message that you definitely get from that. So I think being so open and honest is important because you're just telling your truth for sure. So Know Me, Hear Me, Obey Me. Ruth Hatch, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for the privilege.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.